The first longitudinal survey of Australians on the impact of COVID-19 paints a picture of distress, hardship and resilience. The ANU study has found that two-thirds of Australians do feel anxious or worried about their own and others' safety, and a substantial number believe they'll contract the virus in the next 6 months. The impacts on employment and income are historic, with the 670,000 people out of work and a quarter of those in work expected to be unemployed within a year. Professor Nick Biddle is a co-author of the report. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
There is some good news in the study, which I want to get to, but it does paint a rather bleak picture. What have we learnt?
Yeah, so it not only tells a pretty bleak picture specifically with regards to COVID-19, but also more broadly with regards to psychological distress, large drops in life satisfaction, very large drops in income, although we can maybe talk a little bit about the distributional differences. But yeah, very large economic impacts, very large mental health impacts. And not surprisingly, they're very different across the population.
So talk to me about the impact of the crisis on incomes.
Yeah, so we found about a 9% drop in household income and then a larger drop in per-person income. And one of the reasons for that is an increase in household size over the period as mostly young people kind of moved back home as rent became more difficult. So that income needed to be spread over a greater proportion of the population. And we estimate that if you turn our weekly estimates from both February and April into annualised estimates, it's about a drop in about $102 billion for the Australian households.
And so the average household, how much less have they got?
Yeah, so about 10% less just in those that 2 month period per person, 10.4%. But the interesting thing is the drop is very different across the distribution. So we actually found increases in income for the lowest a couple of deciles of the population. So that those who are relatively disadvantaged in terms of income before the crisis have seen an increase in their income. In the middle part of the distribution, the income is more or less the same, whereas larger drops at the top of the income distribution.
And in terms of job insecurity, I suppose this is the detail that would alarm a lot of people. You're forecasting that a quarter of those who are still in work are expecting to be unemployed within a year.
Yeah, so we asked them what percentage chance they thought they would lose their job. This is for employed people, so leaving aside those who'd already lost their jobs. Yeah, you're right. So a little over 28% said they were more likely to lose their job than not lose their job. And on average, the percentage chance was about 24% across the population. And what I think is really interesting about this figure is we make our spending decisions about the future. So if we think our employment is quite precarious, if we think there's a high chance that we're going to lose our job, then we'll keep our savings up. We're less likely to spend, and that's going to have flow-on effects on the economy.
So how many of us, or what proportion of us, think that we're going to contract coronavirus within the next 6 months?
Yeah, so that's really interesting as well. So we asked people about their likelihood, their expected likelihood. So a very small percentage, only about 4%, said it was very likely. But then another 35% said that it was likely they would contract coronavirus in the next 6 months. So about 2 in 5 people think that it is likely or very likely that they'll contract coronavirus. And what I think is really interesting is that those differences don't necessarily match the actual likelihood. So males are less likely to think they're going to contract coronavirus, and the young are more likely to think they're going to contract coronavirus.
I did want to ask you about that, because this is about perception of this crisis as opposed to the lived reality of it. Are you saying that our view of what this is worse than actually what it is?
Well, we don't have a crystal ball, so we don't actually know what the likelihood is of contracting coronavirus. But at least in our data, we find a very high self-perceived likelihood, far, far higher than the percentages at the moment, and far higher than what we would expect based on the current trajectory.
And in terms of the good news, there are some positive findings.
There certainly is, yep.
What are they?
Yeah, so maybe... building a little bit from the point about income, we actually find that people across the population are less likely to think that they can't get by on their current income, and particularly those at the bottom end of the income distribution. Now, part of that is because expenditure has gone down anyhow. People have fewer things to spend money on, but we do find a drop in the percent of people who think they can't get by on the current income. And also we find very large increases in social trust. So we asked both in February, before the pandemic started to spread in Australia, and in April, whether they thought Australians were trustworthy, whether they thought Australians were fair, and whether they thought Australians would be helpful. And there was a large increase between February and April in the proportion of people who thought that Australians essentially were could be trusted. And what was interesting is we found the largest increase amongst older Australians. So older Australians had a higher level of trust to start with, but an even larger increase in their trust of the rest of the Australian population.
So how do you determine levels of trust? Just simply by asking them, do you trust other people? So, or what's the measure?
So it's the measure. So we asked three questions, and essentially we asked people to rate on a scale of 0 to 10, the extent to which they thought, in general, people could be trusted. So it's not whether kind of you trusted specific individuals, although we did ask about confidence in government, but in general, whether Australians could be trusted, in general, whether people are fair as opposed to taking advantage of you, and in general, whether people are helpful. And for all of those, we found large increases between February and April.
And I suppose the connection between trust and some of this good news with some of the more worrying signs out of your research is people's state of mind as a result of that. What have you found about how we're coping, I suppose?
Yeah, so certainly there is quite a large drop in life satisfaction. So a pretty standard measure of life satisfaction used across a range of surveys is overall how satisfied are you with your life as a whole these days? And in January, the last time we asked, people rated about 6.9 out of 10. Between January and April, that had declined to 6.5 out of 10. That's really hard to get a sense of what that means. How big a drop is that? So what we did is we tried to convert that into dollar figures. So essentially we looked prior to the crisis, what would be the equivalent drop of income, which would lead to a drop in life satisfaction between 6.9 and 6.5. And it was a $580 decrease. So in January, if you lost $580 per week, then that would predict a drop in life satisfaction from 6.9 to 6.5. So what we essentially show is that the drop in life satisfaction is far larger in income terms than the actual drop in income.
Nick Biddle, it's been fascinating to hear about your research. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Hamish.
Professor Nick Biddle is the Associate Director of the ANU Centre for Social Research and Methods.